And we're back. Thank you so much for listening to Blue Sierra's Telehealth Radio on WATD 95.9. Our next guest is Lou Silverman from HighQuity Healthcare. He's the CEO of one of the largest and most well-known tele-ICU or telecritical care service providers in the industry of telehealth. So I'm excited to have Lou here as a guest tonight. Hi, Lou. How are you?
Very good, Michelle. Thanks for having us. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Absolutely. Tell our listeners a little bit about HighQuity and what about the customers that you serve?
Sure. So HighQuity, as you mentioned, is a leading provider-to-provider telemedicine company. So that means we're focused on providing services to healthcare systems, acute care hospital systems, post-acute systems, really institutional healthcare delivery locations. In addition to what you mentioned, to our role in as a pioneer and leader in the tele-ICU space, we're also providing services in a range of other service lines and care venues. So within the hospital, we're in addition to ICU services that we deliver care remotely to patients through that service line, we're doing inpatient cardiac telemetry monitoring. So we're monitoring heart rhythms for patients. We're doing virtual nursing services to assist nurses on a variety of floors in the hospital as they care for patients with care teams that are a little bit shorter than they might otherwise be due to the well-documented shortage of nurses in a variety of hospital settings. We're doing virtual patient sitter services. This is helping with those patients who are not supposed to get out of bed based on physician orders or not supposed to leave their rooms. We're delivering all of these services in a tech-enabled fashion, which means our teams are remote from the patients and the hospitals that we serve. But we are leveraging some of our own technology, as well as in selected cases, third-party technology to deliver those services in a clinically effective and cost-effective basis for our clients. We serve hospitals and hospital systems and post-acute providers and a whole bunch of other folks in a variety of different sizes. We're in 32 states today in terms of where our clients are. So we're well distributed in terms of geography. We're well distributed in terms of service lines. And our team members include physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, respiratory therapists, telemetry techs, virtual sitter specialists. We have supporting all of those important clinical roles. We have several teams on the technology side, technology development, infrastructure. We have client services teams. So we have a robust team of just a tick south of about 500 employees right now.
That's great. I know it has a great reputation in the industry, certainly, and you've been around for a long time doing this work. And it's certainly a very important and needed service, given, as you mentioned, the workforce shortages that we're all experiencing in healthcare. And we know that that's only going to get more and more prevalent as time goes on, given the lack of graduating new students and retiring older providers in the healthcare industry. So thank you for all the work that HighQuity does, and thanks for that explanation. We talk a lot in this radio show about healthcare and telehealth in particular, and telehealth can be such a broad term. There are direct consumer companies, like folks may have seen if they're listening to this radio show now, or Teladoc or American Well or others that are doing those direct consumers. But HighQuity is focused on that provider-provider telemedicine. What are the contributions and differences between the two types of practice areas?
Sure. So in short form, the direct-to-consumer telemedicine that you mentioned, and I do agree that Teladoc and American Well are good examples. I've found it easiest to think of those organizations most accurately as parts of the employee benefit environment. So these are companies that are focused on delivering convenient, on-demand, often telephonic access to personal clinical advice targeted mostly to the ambulatory environment. There are other offshoots of what those organizations do on a direct-to-consumer basis, but I think it's fair to think about this as kind of episodic 1-800, call us if you need us, call us if you have a question, call us if you want to discuss whether you should actually show up in the emergency room or local clinic, or even you need to make an appointment with your personal physician. Those are not services that my company delivers, but on the direct-to-consumer side, that's basically what that service is. And I think to be fair, that service, that type of service, received significant exposure during the COVID period, where for long stretches of time, people were hesitant to venture out and of all places to go to your physician office with a bunch of other sick people, wasn't anybody's favorite activity. So that part of telemedicine certainly had a very significant spike in utilization during the COVID period. That spike has come down a bit, it's well documented, but nevertheless, that part of telemedicine has carved out its own role, and it's a unique and specific role, and it certainly adds value to the healthcare ecosystem. Provider telemedicine, where Hycuity is living, is obviously a different branch of the telemedicine tree. And in that branch, as I indicated in my early comments, companies such as ours, such as Hycuity, will contract with healthcare delivery systems, so hospital systems, post-acute providers, et cetera, that are delivering, in the main, high acuity care to high acuity patients. These services are technology enabled, so we get all kinds of data feeds coming into us with all of the information in real time that you might imagine that we would need, looking at patient cardiac activity, looking at test results, looking at all kinds of clinical measures, if you will, in real time. And we're delivering those services in areas that I would define as kind of specialized clinical units, so ICUs, telemetry units, med-surg floors, less specialized, different types of offerings, generally whole house patient deterioration monitoring, wound care, patient safety sitters, so very specific targeted offerings that are designed to address specific targeted need that our clients face. The majority of these service lines are delivered in real time, kind of constant monitoring types of ways. So it's an always on kind of delivery system. There are some that are more asynchronous, or in other words, not real time, but just kind of looking retrospectively at certain measures. Way to kind of put a bow on the answer to your question, convenience and patient access are kind of the measures of the direct-to-consumer environment. And in the business-to-business or provider-to-provider model that Hycuity is involved in, we're focused on maximizing clinical efficacy, cost-effectiveness, and improved outcomes for patients that are in a care setting that they didn't necessarily volunteer to show up in. And so they're in need, often very, very sick patients. And we are always on, always there, and paying constant attention. They don't need to call us. We're there. We're contracted and hired by hospital systems to be part of their care team, delivering services 24/7/365.
And you're really an invisible partner as part of that, partnership, that service that you're providing to a healthcare system. So a patient wouldn't necessarily know the difference, wouldn't at all know the difference between a provider that might be providing care through HighQuity or providing care directly through their local health system. And I think what is important that you noted there, and an understatement in terms of, you know, people that don't want to necessarily be in that care setting. Of course, you know, if you're in the ICU or you have a family member in the ICU, you always want to know that there's somebody paying attention to them all the time, watching their measures, making sure that the outcome that they get coming out of the ICU or any kind of monitored situation, as you noted, any kind of telemetry type of scenario, which is becoming more and more prevalent, even in post-procedure rooms, I think is an important element for folks to understand, for our listeners to understand that this makes sure that someone is constantly watching, making sure and looking at the measures of that patient, determining that they should go to a different level of care or should be another intervention done at this point versus those nurses or doctors that are on the floor that have five or six other patients that they might need to take care of, or maybe just three, you never know. And it depends on the size of the ICU, but they have still more than one patient to handle. So I think that kind of personalized service really helps. And it's proven, as you probably can speak to, around the level of reduction in mortality and the increase in the throughput, meaning how fast you can leave the ICU or those other higher levels of care.
Yes, I agree. And just to build on a couple of your points, in terms of our presence in the clinical setting, one of our strongly held philosophies and always achieved goals and targets is we are part of the care team within each of our client engagements. We are not somebody else coming in or another organization or care team coming in with a different set of clinical objectives, a different set of clinical protocols or practices. Across all of our service lines, and I think it's fair to generalize this to the provider space as a whole, is that the goal is to be a contributor and an effective contributor to the care delivery that's offered by the client. And so there's no tug of war in terms of who's in charge or responsible. That's all worked out on a client by client basis and setting by setting basis. We are, as practitioners, totally aware of what the practice and preferences for a service delivery, clinical service delivery for our clients. And that's an important satisfier for the bedside teams. And it's an important element to ensure peace of mind and smooth clinical care for the patients that we serve in common. So very important. Yes, we're a third party oftentimes, we are always a third party, but we are not, we're not apart from the from our clinical partners at the bedside. We're kind of shoulder to shoulder with agreed upon processes and protocols, which improves the overall care delivery immensely.
Absolutely. And as we know, during COVID, that was hugely needed. Obviously, lots of folks in the ICU and patients and clinicians overworked. And as we've talked about in this, you know, with the Great Resignation, et cetera, it has been an inflection point really for the direct consumer telemedicine space and the post quote unquote vaccine, post vaccine period. Now that we are in this, you know, post that hopefully constantly in a post COVID world, although I keep getting reminded about COVID now that we're seeing some numbers coming up. Tell us a little bit about how, with that inflection point for providers, with this COVID, you know, scenario that's happening for providers, what are the catalysts that you see in the work that you do versus the direct-to-consumer space?
Sure, and I'm glad you used the term post-vaccine. I'm a little bit superstitious, not a lot, but just a little bit, and I feel like that's just a good term to kind of skate through that middle ground on where we really are, or where we might be going. So the post-vaccine, I use that phrase also. So thank you for providing a little more legitimacy to that that measure of time.
Happy to do it.
Look at COVID. When we look back at the at peak COVID, if you will, it's hard to talk about benefits of the COVID period. There aren't too many. But if you're willing to think about things that benefited from COVID, I do think that the COVID period forced the overall healthcare system to do a couple of things. It forced the overall healthcare system to really fully accept telemedicine, broadly defined, as an integral part of high quality care delivery. It's not something that's in addition to regular care. It's really part of the overall healthcare delivery equation, broadly defined, broadly writ. Another important element of the COVID period was that it forced healthcare delivery systems of all shapes and types to the conclusion that innovation is not optional anymore. Innovation is a requirement. I think it's fair to say that COVID drove different entities and different institutions to try to innovate in different ways. And that's okay. That's fine. But what I think happened is that people got comfortable that innovation, sometimes you just got to go for it. And you need to be thoughtful and methodical. We're dealing with people's health, but innovation is something to be pursued and not kicked down the road a little bit. I think that became and remains today a main derivative aspect of the COVID period. You mentioned another element of the COVID period, which is the, I think, exacerbation of some of the staffing shortages that people have been talking about.
Absolutely.
We've been talking about for a number of years. That got, and remains today, true today as well, that got really enhanced or expanded during the COVID period. Significant numbers of nurses kind of walking off of their jobs to pursue higher paying traveling nurse jobs. MDs overburdened, overworked, healthcare techs of all kinds and stripes. Those stressors were exacerbated by COVID. They remain today. And I think what we see in our practice is that one of the benefits of a robust provider telemedicine program is that it is a stress reducer for the folks that are still at the bedside. We are colleagues with the bedside teams, and our presence makes their jobs a little bit easier, makes their hours a little bit more manageable, makes the peaks and valleys of their workflows a little more sane. And so you end up with this really a multiplicity of benefits in that patients get better care, the bedside teams feel better about their ability to deliver effective care without being overwhelmed, and they've got folks, knowledgeable folks who are part of the team with a consistent set of goals and a programmatic approach that is client by client specific. Those things really help deliver care that's needed in an environment that is comfortable, more comfortable than it would be otherwise for the bedside teams as well.
I think it's also important, maybe some folks don't know, that in areas that are, this broadcasts live in the Boston area and in the South Shore of Massachusetts, but this is heard nationwide. And for some of the clinicians in rural areas and island countries like Hawaii, like Puerto Rico, or island states or island territories, like the U.S. Virgin Islands and probably British Virgin Islands as well, but U.S. Virgin Islands, for example, the level of exodus from the care side and being able to take on, as you just said, go to these higher paying travel positions that sort of made them go into these urban areas to handle a lot of COVID at that time, meant that there was a major gap in care in these rural spaces, in these island territories and areas of the country. And that has not let up just yet. We're seeing, you know, still some workforce challenges, you know, that have stayed and exacerbated, not just because they've been continued to stay in that travel work, but also because we've seen some retire, as we mentioned before, and or just change completely out of the healthcare space. So the fact that you are able, and Hycuity and others like you are able to bridge that gap and lower the stress levels and allow for clinicians that are working at the bedside to reduce that burnout rate is even more important than I think maybe readily obvious to folks that might live in urban areas, for example.
And to your point, and it's so screamingly obvious when I say it out loud, which I'm about to say, one of the elements of technology enablement is that we can recruit clinicians where they are, and we can leverage technology to deliver their expertise where that expertise is needed. And it sounds very simple to say it out loud, and the technology piece of this range and complexity. But if you contrast that to the challenge that a particular healthcare system might have to fill open positions in bricks and mortar facilities in particular geographic areas, ultimately, however they do it, those entities need to attract human beings who live in an area that's proximate to the facility. And that's doable. It's been done for hundreds of years. But in the current environment, it's a little bit more, maybe even a lot more challenging. And so this idea of technology enablement, if you can meet the needs of the research, the clinical resources where they are geographically, and in some ways no reload required, I guess is a way to think about it.
Right.
It works for everybody. Let's not get carried away here. In a telemedicine environment, it's impossible for even the most talented of clinicians to actually physically put hands on a patient to do anything in that kind of mode. But that is where the partnership is so important between a telemedicine partner and the bedside colleagues to then collaborate on, let's take what we each can do and leverage those individual advantages to the benefit of patients. One other thing I would mention about COVID is that it really put a stress and strain on the financial picture for many, many, many organizations. And for your listeners, I think it's important to note that, yes, we are a commercial organization. Others like us are commercial organizations. But having said that, the services that we deliver all carry a positive return on investment for our customers. So in a world where economics are increasingly strained for the provider community, telemedicine can be a very good, certainly a good investment in the clinical benefit arena, but it's also a sound investment from in terms of its impact on the financial stability and viability of client organizations. So
absolutely.
And we need to, companies like ourselves need to pay attention to both ends of that equation.
No, it's a good point, and it's a good point for the industry to be aware of. And I think that, you know, healthcare organizations are still struggling with the cost of COVID as we're 3 years, you know, into it, sort of, as you said, post-vaccine. But we know that the numbers, you know, we've seen COVID numbers that might be increasing and that sort of thing as we come into the fall, et cetera. So we need to think about, you know, how do we preserve that? And the cost of managing highly skilled staff like intensivists that work in the ICU, like nurses, et cetera, that has been the highest cost, of course, as it probably should be with inside of an organization. And we've seen some healthcare organizations resort to, you know, other temporary staffing solutions to be able to relieve those staffing pressures that they have. But tell me a little bit about, and that has been, you know, a real threat to organizations as they tried to balance their budgets and manage those budgets. And tell me a little bit about how Hycuity and the provider-to-provider telemedicine services that you provide, how those help address those present-day challenges that everyone is healthcare organizations are dealing with as they're thinking about reducing their, you know, overall cost of care and also maintaining the quality of care.
Yes, important topics for sure. One of the ways that I have been thinking about this topic is that, and you've mentioned some elements that have been present for long periods of time in healthcare, locums providers, traveling nurses, et cetera, and there are good companies and good people that are involved in those entities and from a clinical perspective, delivering care in those capacities. That said, those solutions have been and are really historically focused on solving short-term problems. They are kind of bridge solutions to short-term problems. And in any walk of life, personal or professional, clinical or business, it's fair to solve short-term problems with short-term solutions. The issue is that in healthcare, these staffing challenges are anything but short-term. And so thinking about how to deliver long-term kind of durable, sustainable solutions to what are really long-term structural issues is really the key. And that's how provider-to-provider telemedicine delivered by Hycuity or any other company is really designed. It's designed to say this is a service, a partnership that is with you for the long haul. I mentioned clinical efficacy. I mentioned our positive ROI. We are focused as a sector on delivering long-term, sustainable, financially and in every other way, sustainable solutions to what are long-term structural issues. And that is, I think, an important way to think about problem solution really in any environment, but it's particularly true in healthcare today.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. We'll have to have a different show on the structural integrity or the structural scenario within healthcare and the fragility of it and as it is in across the country, and managing all the people that we have, you know, in our healthcare system. But one thing you noted that I think is really important for people to come back to and think about is this idea of innovation and the fact that innovation is required now as part of the new way of working. It's not an option to, you know, we kind of went through the evolution of meaningful use. So we, you know, we all have electronic medical records, and all of us as patients expect to get our lab results via a portal message or be able to communicate with our physicians through our EMRs, et cetera. And I think the new innovation cycle is this telemedicine innovation cycle. And I think that for me, when I think about what is next for telehealth in general and the medical service medicine delivered via, as you said, tech-enabled medicine, I think it's important for not only the industry to consider, but also all healthcare providers to consider this idea of having to continue to push and innovate and be able to ensure that we're doing best practices as well along with that. But on that note, what is next from an innovation perspective? What can we expect in the future from Hycuity and from telehealth and telemedicine in general from your perspective?
Sure. So I think that one of the places that all participants in the telemedicine sector are united on is the notion of focusing and being dedicated to, and it's a cliche, but it happens to apply here nicely, to continuous improvement, continuous evolution, take what's working and enhance that. And if there are things that need to work better, figure out how to do that. And so that's table stakes for all of us. I think when I look into the future, and I'll speak dually about Hycuity and the industry as a whole, I think that it is fair to say that we have just skimmed the surface on the specific service lines that can be delivered efficiently and clinically effectively by telemedicine. And so our company and many, many others are focused on trying to figure out what are the next service lines. And so without getting into, gee, this is the next new big thing, I think that we will continue to see more and more types of practices, more and more specialties where there are opportunities that have been carved out for telemedicine to play a significant and relevant role. I also think that as healthcare systems figure out and evolve in their utilization of different care venues, the evolving role of acute care hospitals, the evolving role of post-acute facilities, the evolving role of care at home programs, the evolving role of really any number of what things are done in ambulatory surgery centers, what things are done in spoke hospitals versus hub hospitals. All of those trends, there's a role for telemedicine to play as a catalyst for helping those changes to occur more naturally and more smoothly. And there's an opportunity for telemedicine companies, commercial companies, along with our hospital system or healthcare system partners, to think more broadly about, gee, XYZ worked in this setting. Let's take what we learned there and move it over to a setting that would benefit, and now can be, or we can be comfortable that it can be deliver benefits in this other setting. So I think it's expanding service lines, it's expanding care venues, and I think it's expanding the partnership between bedside and telemedicine, taking us all the way back to one of the early comments, which is where we are now is that telemedicine is not something that's adjacent to healthcare. Telemedicine is healthcare.
That's right. That's right. It's a great quote to end on, Lou. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It's been a pleasure to listen to you and hear your perspective on healthcare and telehealth in general. I know you're a huge Celtics fan, so I'm sure this is an honor to be broadcasting in the Boston area. So thanks again for joining us on the show tonight.
Thanks for for having me. Yes, I'm a Celtics fan. I was going to wish your listeners one of my wishes for Go Red Sox, but looking at the standings here, it's a little late for that. So we're gonna cheer for the Celtics now.
you're gonna abandon that one. That's great. Well, thanks again, Lou. I really appreciate it. We'll have to have you on again and talk more about the healthcare structural integrity and all of that. Thanks so much. We'll be right back with our next guest on Blue Sierra's Telehealth Radio. We are the smartest show on radio. This is WATD 95.9.